Okay. Can I begin the meeting?
I will go ahead and open up the lines, and you can go ahead and start.
Okay, welcome to the March 25th, 2020 special commission meeting of Miami Beach City Commission. Although we have done it to see who's on the line, why don't we, since this, we want to comply with all public records and sunshine laws, can we take the roll again so the public knows who's here?
Yes, Mayor, this is Ralph Granato, Commissioner Arriola.
Yeah, I'm on.
Commissioner Gongora.
Yes, good morning.
Commissioner Minor.
Hi, good morning.
Commissioner Richardson.
Good morning.
Commissioner Samuelin.
Good morning.
Vice Mayor Steinberg.
Present.
Mayor Gelber.
Present.
Mayor,
why don't we, thank you, Ralph. All right, so why don't we do this? First, Raul, why don't you just explain briefly how we're operating, what authority we're operating under. This is a very unusual meeting. Typically, we would never do this. We're not typically allowed to do it, but why don't we just let the public know how we're meeting and under what authority we're meeting?
Thank you, Mayor. This is your city attorney, Raul Aguila. We are meeting remotely. There is a full quorum of the city commission that is meeting remotely, the city manager, the city attorney, and the city clerk, and I are also present remotely. Under an order of the governor, waiving the typical law that commissioners may meet remotely under extraordinary circumstances, provided that they have a physical quorum in the commission chambers. Because of the coronavirus pandemic, obviously, and these extraordinary circumstances, the governor has issued a waiver so that commissioners can meet, participate, and vote remotely. Now, I want to also say that this meeting has been noticed in accordance to the Sunshine Law requirement, and there will be public participation in accordance with Sunshine Law requirements. We have people that will join the meeting if they feel they want to comment on the one item on the agenda via telephone. Additionally, the meeting is being aired. The audio portion of the meeting is being aired on our city channel. You can see right now, if you're tuned in to the city channel, that there's a notice that says special city commission meeting with all our pictures and a call-in number if you want to participate. So we are complying with the Sunshine Law in terms of public notice and public participation. Anything else you need me to say, Mayor?
No, I think you've got it, and thank you very much to the legal department. This is unusual and not ideal, but it's obviously challenging times. Okay, so to my colleagues and to the public, I want to try to give you some sense of what we're going to do and the process. So we have a request from the only item on the agenda is a request from Unite Here and Heat Inc. for emergency funding to help displaced hospitality workers and in that category. So what I'd like to do is, Wendy, there are some folks here from the group that is asking us to consider this funding request. So the way I'd like to do this is first have them explain what it is they're thinking about. And then I'd like to cue it up to my colleagues. I'd like to say something about it, but then have my colleagues talk a little bit about it, maybe ask them questions, and then open it up to the public for 2 minutes remarks and comments on the proposal. And the reason why I want to talk and have my colleagues talk is we all may have different ideas as to, you know, they have a very specific request, but we may have different approaches to the issue of how we help people who have been dislocated based on this, employees or residents even. So what I'd like to do is let my colleagues go first before the public speaks so that the public knows what ideas are on the table, and then maybe they can talk about those. I could, if we didn't do it that way, I could easily see the public just speaking to what was sent out, and not able to address maybe some of the other ideas that are out there. So the process will be, I'll let Wendy speak, and she's not limited to 2 minutes since she actually has submitted the request. So I'm going to ask, ask her to go through her presentation. Then I'm going to say something about it, and then all my colleagues will be given unfettered time to talk about it, and then the public will. And that way you'll see sort of what people are thinking about in terms of the idea. I'll also ask, by the way, before the public speaks, for our manager, Jimmy Morales, or whomever he selects, to talk about what the city's recommendation is about this. And I'd like to remind all callers that if you would like to be added to the queue to talk, you should press 0 on your phone. That will put you in the queue. So with that, if there are no objections, and I hope there aren't with this process, I'd like to ask Wendy to explain what it is she thinks we should be doing on behalf of, at least she represents a union, but talk about what you're thinking about. And then I'm going to say something, and then my colleagues will talk, then Jimmy will talk, and then we'll open it up to the public.
Hi, good morning, commissioners. Can you hear me? I'm going to assume yes. This is Wendy Walsh with Unite Here, Local 355. First, I want to thank you all for doing everything you're doing for the residents of Miami Beach to keep them safe right now. I know it's an unbelievably trying time. I'm grateful that we can take a little bit of time to talk about Miami Beach's hospitality workers. You all know me as a leader of Unite Here in South Florida, but today I'm talking to you in a different capacity. I'm also the chair of the Board of Trustees for a training fund that contracts with HEAT, Inc., which is the Hospitality Employees Advancement and Training Center. HEAT is a training center that's physically located in downtown Miami. It's jointly supported by our fund and by the Overtown Park West Community Redevelopment Agency in Miami. The training center is funded through the CRA and by contributions from hospitality employers, including Hilton, Marriott, Hyatt, the Fontainebleau, and also by food and beverage concessionaires like Delaware North and HMS Host. I'll say a word about what's prompted this request for funding, and then I'll explain what the funding will do, and I'm going to really try and keep this as brief as possible. We all know Miami-Dade has approximately 150,000 people who work in leisure and hospitality, and over the last few weeks, the industry has been decimated and nearly completely shut down. Some hospitality workers are in their third week of joblessness. Obviously, Miami Beach is the epicenter of hospitality, and the pandemic has had its greatest impact on us here on the beach. Most hospitality workers are low wage, often working for wages below what's estimated to be a living wage, and live precariously from paycheck to paycheck. Since the shutdown, we've set up a hotline. We've received many hundreds of calls for help. The training center, which normally does training in hospitality jobs, is shifting its mission to a relief and recovery effort for hospitality workers. I want to be clear, we understand that there's now a tremendous struggle in every industry, and that this effort is not going to solve all those challenges. It's a small piece of it, but we do feel that it's in the interest of the city to support these hospitality workers, thousands of whom live on Miami Beach, many more who work here, if these workers are going to sustain themselves in ways that make it possible for them to be ready to come back to work and get the beach's economy restarted as quickly as possible when the time comes. We're also seeking support from a number of employers, individual donors, foundations, municipalities. We came to Miami Beach first because it's the epicenter for hospitality. HEAT currently has access to $200,000, about $100,000 from employer contributions and $100,000 from the Overtown CRA. We're asking Miami Beach to contribute $200,000 to the overall effort. The proposal is that HEAT is providing case management services to assist, we believe, up to 2,500 hospitality workers in helping them obtain access to emergency resources such as unemployment insurance, food stamps, Medicaid, utility deferrals, and similar resources. Given the difficulty of accessing public assistance and the language barriers that many hospitality workers face, they're unlikely to obtain all the public resources available to them without case management assistance. We've also developed, in coordination with our sister training centers around the country, an online training tool regarding CDC cleaning standards that we would expect all participants to take to prepare for the future. You've seen all the press and the websites of the UI applications crashing here in Florida under the weight of the applications. The applications take 2 to 3 hours to complete. Many hospitality workers don't have access to computers, aren't computer literate, don't have internet, may not be literate at all. We're currently helping them fill out the applications by phone, and we would hope to do so in person once that's allowed. The funding would also provide some direct support toward things like rent and food assistance for the worst hardship cases. Obviously, the federal government today is rolling out an unprecedented relief package that would increase benefits around the country. We're taking a look at that, and that may substantially reduce the need for those kinds of funds. But we do have people who, given that they've already been out of work for a while and it's going to take 6 to 8 weeks to get an unemployment benefit check, who are still in dire need. As a side note, we had a hotel housekeeper who was going to speak to you today who can't because she had her phone service cut off this morning. So that is what the funding is for. I want to be clear so that there's no confusion that this is not for union members. It's for all hospitality workers who come to us. We're getting calls from all kinds of hotels, restaurants, et cetera. And the funds would not go to the union at all. The training center is a separate 501c3 nonprofit. I will not receive any money. Nobody on the union staff will receive money. No money comes to the union. This is only for case management and direct services through the training center. I think I'll end there so I don't go on, and I'm happy to answer any questions that you have.
Okay. Wendy, thank you very much, and thank you to all, sort of everybody who's thinking about the people who get this most acutely. Obviously, they're not just hospitality, but they clearly are hospitality is in the center of it. So let me just say a couple of quick things to my colleagues, and then we'll open it up for questions. But I've been thinking about your proposal, and so everyone knows I talked with Wendy a lot about this over the last few days, and I really salute her and her team for trying to figure out what to do here. So here are my thoughts, and then I'd like my colleagues to join in, but also to ask questions. I think the question we have is how to help the most as fairly as possible, cognizant of both the financial forecast, not only for our city, but also for our own employees, but also how can we help fill a vacuum among so many displaced workers? And the thing that I found most appealing of your request was us trying to help create essentially a team that would assist individuals to access state and federal relief that, as you pointed out, might be very difficult. The state of Florida although they're loosening the rules, have traditionally made it very difficult for people to get unemployment. And I'm quite certain that all of these benefits that are going to come from the federal and state government are going to be difficult, too. And as you point out, there are a lot of people, probably tens or hundreds of thousands of people, who will have lots of difficulty in figuring out how to access this. Maybe they don't have computers. Maybe they don't have the wherewithal. So to me, the best idea here is how do we help that group? Because that's an enormous group. And that fills an enormous vacuum. And so for me, I like the idea of us trying to help out in that way because it seems to go across the entire swath of displaced persons. And frankly, not just, not only hospitality, but others. But the point is that that's sort of a critical thing that we need to look at. The concern I had was, and we've talked about it, is I know you're trying to get other folks to join in. I know you're trying, and that may or may not happen, and in a moment I'll ask you to sort of talk about those possibilities, but we would be the first to sort of say, here is the money, and then hopefully you can get it from other people, but we don't know who else is going to join in, so therefore we don't know the scope of the funds you're going to have, and therefore we don't know the scope of what you're going to be able to do. And in fact, I think there's a lot of unknowns in this because we also don't know what kinds of benefits are coming from the government, and that might have something to do with it. So the way I look at this is I think us getting into the help us getting into the business of helping dislocated workers access benefits is a very appropriate thing for us to do at this moment. But rather than approve a direct funding request for a program that we're not quite sure what it's going to look like, I actually would suggest that maybe what we do is we simply give the manager the ability, the approval, with $200,000, that seems to be the request right now, to sort of deploy that as he seems fit, realizing what maybe the goals of this are, so he could deploy it with you. He could deploy it with you and others. He could deploy it with another group that was working with you. But that just to simply give him that authority and let him figure out, because this is such a moving target. Even your own proposal is a moving target, because it's a $2 million proposal, which if we agree would be only a small percentage of that amount. So we don't even know whether we're joining in with a lot of other people or not at this point. But if we make the statement that we're prepared to pony up money, then maybe others would as well, and we could get this program in a way that makes sense. But I just would my recommendation to the commissioner would be to sort of take this proposal and process it as, let's give Jimmy the authority, but ask him to enter into these negotiations and figure it out. I guess, and the only other thing I would say is that, we don't know what's going to happen in the next week or two, or in the next day, frankly. So I think giving him authority gives him the ability to be nimble, allows us to achieve a goal of helping dislocated workers access these benefits. The only concern I'd have is the direct aid of just writing checks. The only challenge of that is obviously if there's not a lot of other money put into this fund, we could easily just immediately write 500 checks, and that would be the end of it. And I don't know who they would be going to and whether that would help a lot or that would have a big impact. I'd rather have the biggest impact with the most amount of people. So I think us trying to help set up a center that helps dislocated employees access the benefits, whether it be state or federal benefits, to me is how our commission could help the most people in the most significant way. And also perhaps inspire other groups or other cities to aid in this benefit. So I'm supportive of the proposal, but in sort of the way I've described it, just because it's such a moving target. And with that, I would ask my colleagues to weigh in and to ask questions of Wendy. And so let's begin that. So Steve, okay. Commissioner Miner, you're recognized.
Thank you. So thank you for the presentation, Wendy. I do have some questions. So we talked about the number. You mentioned the 2,500 hospitality workers. How do you get to that number? Because obviously there are many more hospitality workers who work in Miami Beach. So if you can explain that in a little more detail.
Sure. So I think that it does depend on the overall funds that we bring in, but we're looking at there will be a number of workers who have called into the hotline who only are looking for information about where they can get resources, where they might access food delivery or a food bank once the shelter-in-place order has ended, things along those lines. The type of work that's going to take far longer is for us to provide live assistance in filling out the applications by phone, where we have a 2 to 3 hour commitment to actually help workers through that. And so if that's what we're doing, we're going to be able to help, each person who's doing the case management in that case can only do 3 or 4 of those a day. And so we don't want to overestimate how many people we could get to over the course of a month in doing that work, given that it's going to be 3 or 4 a day. So at the moment, for a $2 million budget, we have 9 case managers who would be helping to do that work and who potentially could be doing about 3 or 4 of those per day over the course of the month. So we tried to estimate it so that we don't overestimate how many people we can reach.
Let me ask in a different way. Who is eligible to receive these benefits?
Yeah, so right now we're saying anybody who's in hospitality. They work in a restaurant, a hotel, some stadium workers, and other food service workers. So anyone who qualifies under a set of criteria that would be deemed hospitality, and we're going to basically do it on a first-come, first-served basis. I think we have a backlog right now of 500 people who have called our hotline and asked for assistance, but of that group, about 100 are asking for us to actually walk them through the application process for them to do the application for them, and the others are asking for other kinds of information or assistance.
So anyone who works for a hotel or restaurant, anyone who's in the using the broad term of hospitality industry would be
correct.
Eligible?
Yeah.
Union or non-union?
Absolutely, yeah. There's far more non-union than union, so that's a much broader group of people.
And would this 501c3, Keith, would they have to hire additional staff? Would part of the money that if Miami Beach went forward with this and perhaps other municipalities, would Heath be using some of that money to hire additional staff and resources?
Yes. So currently Heath has 3 employees. The proposal here is that there would be a total of 10, 9 case managers and 1 supervisor. Now that's for a $2 million budget for 4 months. To be able to do that. To the mayor's point, though, if there is a reduction in the amount that is direct funding to the applicants, then that would provide more money for case management. Which I just want to say, I agree with the mayor's comments on that. Like, if it is possible that the federal aid, state aid, is going to help these workers through this crisis financially, we could put more money into case management. That does mean we could serve so many more people than if we had to write checks for hardship cases.
Assuming you got the $2 million you're seeking from around the county, what percentage of that money would have to go into staff and what have you to get this going, as opposed to directly going to the to the personnel themselves?
Right. So in the proposal as it's written now, there is $1.6 million going into direct aid for hospitality workers and the rest going to staffing. But like I said, I think that given today's announcement, we're looking at how that money could shift with the increase in unemployment benefits. We really have to take a look at the bill and who's going to benefit, the details of that, and who's going to be left out. But it would mean a shift.
Okay, thank you.
Anyone else? Commissioners?
This is Michael. I'm happy to go next unless anybody else wants to. I appreciate the comments by the mayor and the questions that were raised. Obviously, we're dealing with an unprecedented critical time. So when I read the initial email from the manager and the report, it seemed that $200,000 is a reasonable sum of money to do on a one-time basis. Obviously, we need to ensure that it's going to help the workers that are displaced. So I have more comments, but my first question for Wendy is this going to be – could you just explain again the scope of people that would be able to use the service? Because I will tell you, I've helped a couple of people file for state unemployment benefits this week, and it is very, very difficult. I'm an attorney, and it took me well over an hour with each one to navigate the website. So it's not exactly easy for workers to be able to apply for these benefits. So I'd like to know, would this be open to all workers? What types of fields of workers? Is it limited only to hospitality? Because we've all been receiving a number of emails from people in all kinds of industries, beauticians, hairdressers, et cetera. So if we're allocating money to help Miami Beach workers, I want to help the most people possible.
Commissioner, thank you for the question. And I greatly appreciate that there's a much broader need. the Hospitality Training Center has a defined mission that is, has been to, traditionally what the center does is it does training in hospitality classifications, culinary training, et cetera. But obviously there's not going to be a need for that for a very long time. The proposal is focused on hospitality workers. We're anticipating that even once businesses reopen here, that unfortunately, and I hope that I'm wrong about this, that it is going to take a while for hotel business to ramp up, especially group and convention, group business, conferences, conventions. And so throughout 2020, we're anticipating nationally and locally significant unemployment still by the end of the year. And so the Hospitality Training Center is for hospitality workers. We want to define that as broadly as possible to kind of capture as many people as we can. As calls come in, we really are encouraging people who are capable of filling out the unemployment applications or applications for other kind of assistance like food stamps, et cetera, to do that on their own. If they have access to internet and a computer, they're computer literate, it's frustrating, the process, but we want them to do it so that we can really focus on those folks who don't have a computer, internet, English isn't their first language, they're not particularly savvy with the computer, et cetera, to try and help them, because the need is just so much larger than the capacity of what we will be able to do, even frankly, with all $2 million. Like I said, we have 200,000 now. This would get us to 400,000. We'll be on our way, but it's certainly not going to meet everyone's need, that's for sure.
Wendy, would this be open to both union and non-union hospitality workers?
100%. I think that we are likely to have far more non-union than union calling, because that's just who the hospitality industry is, and we're trying to get the information out as broadly as possible through social media, that anyone and everyone can call us and use these services.
Okay, thank you for that answer. It's difficult to weigh because, of course, like everything, there's two sides to every argument. I'm inclined to allocate the money to the city manager, as the mayor also suggested, and let him figure out how best the program could work on a one-time basis, because we have so many hospitality workers currently displaced. I do recognize, however, that the city of Miami Beach is going to be in more difficult financial times and that we're not the main source of government that should be looked to. The federal government looks like they're on their way with some kind of an agreement to provide extended unemployment benefits and other items to workers. I'm sure the state will follow suit at some point as well, and we need to make sure that our city is fiscally healthy and ready to go once this catastrophe is over. One of the things I also just wanted to point out that we did for those hospitality and other workers that are displaced, while we can't compare anything that's ever happened before to coronavirus, this is a once-in-a-lifetime thing, hopefully. Back after 9/11, which is the most comparable time I can think of to this, the mayor at that time, Dermer, created a Blue Ribbon Tourism Task Force that I served on many years ago, which was a grouping of hospitality workers, public workers, private workers, to help stimulate the economy and figure out how to bring the hospitality business back to Miami Beach as soon as possible. And I'm sure that this city will be doing something similar. For me, on a one-time basis, with the city manager overseeing the parameters, I would be okay with this allocation, but I'm not looking to become the funding source for this. Other areas will have to come in with money, or for me, this would be a one-time allocation. We also have to figure out at the city, if this is for hospitality workers, something that we can do perhaps in-house with some of our city employees that aren't able to perform other services at this moment, to help other workers in other arenas receive some type of similar assistance, because like I said, it's very, very difficult for these workers to figure out how to navigate the state and federal systems to apply for the benefits that they're qualified for.
Yeah. Excuse me, Mayor, this is Mark, if I may.
Yeah, thank you, Michael. And Mark, go ahead.
Thank you, Mayor.
First up, Wendy, thank you to you and your team for putting this proposal on the table. I mean, I think you've sparked a very, very productive discussion, and we all feel just terrible about the situation that, you know, folks from the hospitality industry and, frankly, other industries are facing, and it's just a very, very difficult time. So I think you have really been a catalyst, so I just want to recognize that point. I think my comments are in line and supportive of the direction of the mayor and also what Commissioner Gongora said. So let me just sort of lay it out. I do support allocating up to $200,000 at the city manager's discretion. So I am supportive of that direction. I'm going to sort of just make 5 points sort of as, you know, guidance as I would like the city manager and the administration to think through this. Number one, I am in line with the mayor more to focus on how dislocated employees can access money as opposed to directing the actually making the payment. So more the process to access state and federal funds. Number two, I would ask that we take a holistic view. I absolutely see the need in hospitality. But, of course, there are other categories of workers, and I don't know exactly how we're drawing the line if, you know, someone works at a museum or I know some of the concessionaires on the beach. So I just think we need to take a holistic view. Number three, I want to do the best for the industry and the region, but I do think we need to make sure our residents are being treated properly. So my third point would be that we think about our residents. Fourth, I'm always about helping to be a catalyst and get goodness going as long as others are coming along. So I think a proposal like this, especially if there's others who will come to the table, would be most attractive. So I think the matching. And then finally, this is probably obvious, but we need to make sure that we have a good view of our financial position so that we're not making commitments that shortly then we can't meet. So with that said, I support the recommendation of directing up to $200,000 and would ask these points be incorporated in the manager's thought process.
Thanks, Mark. Would anyone else like to be heard?
Yeah, it's Ricky.
Go ahead, Ricky.
Yeah,
go ahead.
So I'm torn over this for various reasons, but, you know, I slept on it, and, you know, at this time I'm not supportive just because we don't have enough data on what our budget is going to look like. Unfortunately, I know it's going to be horrific. Jimmy alluded to it in his memo. You know, we collect something like $2.9 million a week from resort tax and parking revenues, et cetera, and that's almost nil right now. So if you extrapolate this pandemic out 2, 3, 4 months, we're looking at a $30, $40 million fiscal hole in our budget, and no amount of financial engineering is going to plug that hole. So it's going to be really ugly. And, you know, as chair of the finance committee, you know, I'm not looking forward to those discussions. If you look at our city budget, 60%, 59% of our budget is just simply police and fire. We know we're going to have to do some cutbacks, furloughs, you know, all kinds of unpleasant things, which means, you know, our first responders who are right now on the front lines of this pandemic are going to probably have to be bearing some of that cost, as well as other city employees, and we're going to have to cancel a lot of the programming we do and cut back park activities and just horrific things we're going to have to cut back. And I don't want to start spending money before we have a complete financial picture. So at this time, I'm not ready to support this. With that said, I think the first industry that we need to target to get out of this mess is probably going to be our hospitality industry, because they're going to have the longest lead time to get back on their feet. Restaurants and bars, I think, once we reopen, just the rebound effect just from residents is going to be very strong. But hotels take a longer time to fill. People have to make travel plans. People are going to have less money to spend. Companies are going to be slow to spend. So, you know, at some point in the future, you know, I would be very interested in helping the hospitality industry. But until I have a more complete financial picture, I don't want to spend money just yet. There's going to be a lot of people we're going to need to help.
So I'm not going to be supportive today.
This is David Richardson. I'll go next if that's okay.
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mayor. This is a really tough decision for us and a tough conversation. But I have a number of thoughts. Just like Ricky just said, as a person that sits next to him on the budget committee and as someone who is an accountant and a CPA and ran on a platform of fiscal responsibility and accountability, the truth is that we haven't had any briefing yet on the state of our budget. And so that concerns me a great deal that we're looking at a proposal when we don't even know our own financial condition. So that troubles me. This proposal that we have before us is really broken into two big pieces. One would be direct benefits for up to $1,000, giving them $400 a month, individuals or families $400 a month. That's about $1.4 million of the proposal. About $600,000 of the proposal is for funding for case management and so forth. So if we can just frame the proposal in that way, we'll know what the two big pieces are. Benefits like unemployment and so forth, it's typically an inherently federal function and a state function, and that's why when you pay your payroll deductions, you have FUTA and SUTA deductions. So I don't know of any cases where local governments have provided these sort of unemployment benefits. So this is definitely something new. The other thing is we may be a few days ahead of being able to have the conversation because, the federal government was hoping to get their stimulus package, their third wave relief program negotiated by Sunday night, then Monday night, then Tuesday. So in the middle of the night last night, they did come to an agreement on the Senate side. Now that's going to have to be reconciled with the House, and then it'll go to the president. But it does sound like there will be a significant relief program, and that will include payments to individuals and couples. So my concern with providing relief direct to people is that if we give money, will that eliminate the opportunity for people to get money from the federal government or state money? Because oftentimes when you receive funds in one place, you're asked about that, and you may not be able to receive funds in another place. And I certainly don't want to supplant the federal program or the state program because I really believe only the federal government has the capacity by printing more money and issuing debt to do these big relief programs. City governments don't have that capacity. So another concern that I have is that we are targeting one specific industry. And, the hospitality industry is key to our success here in Miami Beach. And while it's vitally important, it doesn't seem fair that we would provide payments to some people and not to others. So, for example, some of us found out on Monday that some of our part-time employees were laid off. We got an email from an employee, and that's where we first learned about it rather than learning about it through the administration. Those employees apparently were not offered anything, any severance. So what we have before us is a request where we would provide funding, direct funding, $400 a month for up to 1,000 people, but we didn't even give our own employees any money, and that just doesn't seem fair to me. So we may be a little ahead of ourselves in talking about this. So I can't support this program today in its entirety. Now, I recognize that there is a uniqueness about the hospitality industry. As Wendy mentioned, many folks have English as their second language. Maybe they don't have computers, and so there does seem to be a need for the case management. And while I might normally be asking about direct benefits to folks, in this case, I'm saying I'm more in favor of providing some funding for case management so that the individuals can get assistance in getting the federal and state help that I believe is coming. So of the $600,000 that is being asked for in the case management side, and that's over a 3-month period, I believe. So that's $200,000. Now, I'm not even counting the $200,000 that he has in his bank account right now. But if they're asking the city of Miami Beach to fund 10% of their program, $60,000 would be 10% of the $600,000. And I would propose that what we do today is support giving the city manager the authority to spend up to $60,000 for case management services to be allocated at his discretion. And that would mean with partnership from other entities, including other government agencies, so that Wendy can get up to the $600,000 she's looking for case management. But I just don't know how we today can participate in a program where we give $1.4 million of direct benefit when we know the federal government and state government are going to be providing, especially the federal government. And also, it seems just inherently unfair that we would give direct benefits to some people and not other people, including our own employees. So what I'm proposing that after Nikki gets to speak, that we consider this alternative proposal, and that's what I would be able to support today. Thank you.
Okay, anyone else? I think that's been over.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Commissioner Bender.
Thank you. First, I think everybody made really, really good points. A lot of the questions I had were asked. You know, there's a lot of information that we still need to gather. You know, when it comes to our industry, we are very dependent on our tourism industry. And, you know, I was talking to Jimmy last week about thinking forward what we could do in terms of giving back and helping, because we're so reliant. And whether things like Zika or red tide or hurricanes or now this awful virus come into play, it really, really shows us our vulnerabilities. That being said, Jimmy, I need to know, you sent us a memo yesterday. What exactly is your recommendation? Because I'm unclear. And so before we give you direction, I need to know where you are at.
Well, obviously, when we're losing, actually the number across all funds is about $3.6 million a week in revenue. My recommendation would not be to spend $200,000 we don't have, but if the commission was inclined to support Wendy, and I understand the need very well, I would then say do it on a month-to-month basis so that, because it's one thing if this situation goes on for a few weeks. You know, we have reserves, whatever. If it goes on for several months, obviously our capacity is greatly, greatly diminished. So in the short term, it's one thing. In the long term, so that's why I said if you're going to do this, number one, make it a month-to-month commitment so that we can revisit it. And number two, make sure other people are contributing as well, because we certainly don't want to be the only ones playing. But obviously right now, you know, I'd love to keep our powder dry because we just don't know how long this, you know, war against COVID-19 is going to last.
No, agreed. Listen, I guess, Mayor, you're the one who brought this forward to us. What are your thoughts after hearing everybody's comments on the issue? Because, you know, David, Ricky, Mark, Michael, myself, and Stephen, you know, all want to help, but we also, I think, want to make sure we're balancing and looking at all of this through a wide lens and not just one lens. And so can you repeat what your original recommendation was? Because I was unclear. Are you giving the manager the go? Oh, yeah.
Can I, Commissioner, if I can, Mr. Mayor, if I can.
Yeah, we're in this, by the way, just so you know. All right, go ahead, Jimmy.
to me, the most attractive part of the proposal was really the technical assistance. I think, you know, I'm a big believer in the old adage, if you teach someone to fish, they, you know, they eat for a lifetime. Writing checks to the people. The truth is, hopefully, the stimulus bill gets adopted today. There's $1,200 a person in that, $500 for kids. So I think hopefully there'll be money coming from the federal government to provide short-term financial assistance. I think where we can be helpful, and I may even be able to do it with in-house staff that, you know, are not as busy right now because we're sort of shut down, to help with some of that form, helping fill out forms, providing technical assistance, hooking them up with some of the agencies out there like the United Way and others that are doing things. Employers like, you know, CVS is looking at 40,000 or 50,000 employees in the short term. Dollar stores, maybe. So maybe we could, you know, internally, and it wouldn't just be limited to hotel workers. We could do it for others as well. And if I needed to put a little of the money, you know, a few dollars toward that, maybe for some resources or whatever. But I'd be more inclined to say let's support, if we could, a technical assistance effort, either with a little bit of money and in-house resources than necessarily contributing to a fund that writes checks, because maybe what we can do is help them make sure they get their $1,200 a person rather than write them that check.
So, and by the way, you know, look, obviously the manager and I have talked about this, and, you know, questions like, you know, where are your HR staff? Who, you know, do you have people with the wherewithal? How busy are they? How can we deploy them? So let me say this, Commissioner Steinberg, because you, I think, by the way, everybody raised very significant and important points. And so these are one of those difficult things. So let me try to rephrase my approach to this, because I think there is something that we can do. The first thing is I think there's a lot of moving parts right now. The stimulus package, our own budget, what's happening in the state, what's happening federally, that it would be very difficult for us to simply write a check to any group and say, go do this or go do that, because we don't know what they would be doing or if somebody else would be doing precisely the same thing. As far as we know, there may be money coming down for technical assistance that we're unaware of, and all of a sudden that would mean what we're spending would actually be something that the government is providing anyway. So I think the idea that we could, at this moment in time, approve a check that goes to a certain group to do a certain thing doesn't make a lot of sense, because we just don't have enough information and we couldn't have enough information. Secondly, I do agree with Commissioner Richardson that the idea of direct payments, although it sounds like something that desperately needs to be done, it just seems to me that that's not a lot of good use of our money, because it would affect so few people and possibly could be simply duplicative of other efforts, and we'd have to figure out who's getting what. And given the number of people who are dislocated, the idea that we would provide literally a few hundred checks would seem to be almost not really putting a drop into the ocean and hoping to change things. So I fully agree with what I said earlier, but with what the manager and others have said, which is technical assistance seems to be our most beneficial. And so in moments like this, you know, the reason the manager has emergency powers is so that he can figure these things out. So I don't mind authorizing him a certain amount of money to go ahead and figure out whether there is a play for us that is really helpful, whether we can fill a vacuum, whether we can help a group, whether we can do it ourselves, whether he needs to hire back some people, whether he needs to combine that with a group that's out there or a group we had not thought of. So for me, I think what we could do is authorize him to figure this out within what we're a manager-run government, to figure out if there's something that makes the most sense. Because I don't think anyone really said anything that contradicts one another. I think we're all very cognizant of all the points that are made. And so to me, I just would like to give him the authority, but I think he fully understands what everybody's been saying and wouldn't act irresponsibly. I don't, you know, I think he probably wouldn't spend a dime on direct payments, but would probably be very interested in the ways in which we could create a technical assistance center, whether in-house, whether out, whether from other folks, or whether a combined version, and figure out who that could be helping, whether hospitality and non-hospitality, whether people who work here but maybe don't live here, or people who do both. Those are the questions he has to come to. So I don't mind authorizing him this, and I think once we authorize him to do it, we're not going to be voting on this again, and he can decide whether in the toolkit he wants to use it, whether he wants to use Unite to do something in this process, whether he wants to contract with them to do an aspect of it or not. I think those are decisions he can make, and he certainly should make them in light of the fact that we have really good intellectual capital who are employees who may be sitting at home. Not that they aren't working, but it's just hard to do your job when you're not, you know, some jobs are just hard to do remotely. This may be a wonderful way to, you know, to program our own people to do it. So I would support a general sort of let's approach the technical assistance part of this, not the direct aid, but the technical assistance part of this, with a view to see if you can figure out a way to help in a meaningful way, you know, realizing all the very valid points that you have all raised. And I don't know that we need to limit it. I mean, frankly, he could do 60 on his own right now, because I think he has authority up to 100 to spend money he wants. But I think we ought to give him some authority over the next few weeks to spend up to 200, even if he thinks it makes sense, because I don't know what these proposals are going to be. But I think I trust our manager, and I think he, as much as anyone, is really aware of the we talk daily with him, and at that point we'll be able to know. And to Commissioner Areola's point, they're very good ones. We don't know the fiscal impact, but I can tell you someone who knows it very acutely and is very concerned about it, and it's our manager, who is going to have to be negotiating with all employees and who actually is the boss of all the employees. So I don't have any problem giving him that capacity, with the caveat that he's listened to us and probably more than even the commission is very aware of all these competing interests. So I don't have a problem with authorizing him to look at technical, not aid, but figuring out the technical assistance to individuals and maybe even businesses and how they optimize and maximize the benefits that are available to them on the state and federal level, because I think that is a stunning need. And I also think that it will help our city if our businesses and residents and dislocated workers are getting money that they can spend. I think that is a good fiscal thing for us, because most of our city's budget comes from these industries, and getting them back online with a workforce that's available is pretty important to everybody. So I don't mind giving him that with all those caveats, but not doing more.
Dan, this is David. Let me just jump into one point you made. I think, and the lawyers can correct me if I'm wrong, Jimmy has the authority right now under the emergency order to spend up to $100,000 without coming to the commission. Isn't that's correct? Can someone confirm that?
Has that authority. I said, Jimmy, don't you have $100,000?
Yeah, for non-construction related. But I'll let Raul address that if you want.
Sorry, that's correct.
Okay. So if he already has the spending authority, my alternative proposal was $60,000, but I mean if we wanted to make a motion and give him confirmation that we would support initiatives related to technical funding up to $60,000. I mean, he has the authority to do that, but if it would be stronger for us to vote on that, I would support that initiative because I trust that he would deploy those assets in the best way that he thought possible. So that's where I am. Thank you.
Anyone else want to be heard? Yeah, go ahead.
So, David, if I am to understand it, your motion would be, can you repeat that again? And then would you want the manager to come back with a plan to explain to us how that would be, implemented?
No. So my motion would be that even though he does not need us to give him the authority on this, because he can spend up to $100,000 right now, as a vote of confidence in his leadership abilities, I think my motion is that we would encourage the manager to figure out how best to use our assets to deploy technical assistance to displaced employees, including the hospitality industry, and to spend up to $60,000 if he feels the need to do that, without coming back to us for any detailed plan.
Got it. Thanks.
This is Ricky. Jimmy, do you have any thoughts on what David said? Because, I mean, I think it has a lot of merit. But what I'm thinking, with 2,000 city employees, and there's going to be a good portion of them, just because of the nature of the lockdown, that don't really have much to do because they're jobs require them to be out in the field or whatever, if we can redeploy some of those assets, some of those people, to help the unemployed in our community, whether they're hotel workers or restaurant, bars, valets, whatever, navigate the unemployment process, set up PCs in a learning center, you know, whether it's a city hall or even the convention center or something where people can come in. We could do, you know, some video conferencing to teach folks how to navigate the unemployment claims process, you know, that kind of thing. That might be a wise use of city resources and helpful to our community, and it doesn't really cost us much.
Yeah, Commissioner, you're exactly right. You know, we've been very busy these last almost 2 weeks, essentially responding to COVID-19, enforcing all the various orders we've been issuing. We're now at a point, though, with the hotels now finally, you know, having been closed Monday night, where we're pretty hunkered down as a community. We're being safer in place. And I think in the days ahead, we're going to have a lot of full-time employees that, are going to probably need some work to do. So I think there is an opportunity to create sort of an in-house technical assistance team that could do the kind of things Commissioner Richardson was describing. And I think that would be some of the most productive stuff for our employees, for the employees of the hospitality industry, restaurant industry, a lot of different industries that have been impacted by what's going on. So I may not even need to, other than maybe supplies and things like that, there may not be a need to spend, dollars out of pocket as opposed to just repurpose some personnel who have, a lot more time on their hands.
Including our own employees.
No, I'm saying our employees.
We have our own employees who've been, we've let off a good number of our own employees.
Well, let me just briefly address the issue of part-timers and temps. You know, we use part-time labor and temp labor to fill in gaps, to reduce overtime and things like that. Keep in mind that we have shut down whole sections of our city. The beach is closed. We don't need part-time ocean rescue when there's nobody on the beach. The parks are closed. We don't need part-time parks employees. Parking is essentially closed. So it's not that we laid them off. It's just that we have no work for them, candidly. And so we've sort of laid them off if they want to go find other work. But ideally, when the city reopens, we probably are going to bring those individuals back because at that point we will need it. But right now there's no work to give them because all those areas are closed. So the full-time employees in many of those areas now probably do have some time on their hands. Because we're not doing park programming, we're not doing that kind of stuff. So we've been doing shutdown of work, cleaning up of facilities. But I do think a lot of folks are going to have some free time on their hands that they can dedicate to doing some outreach and some technical assistance.
So let me try to re-amend Commissioner Richardson's idea.
Mayor Gelber, do you want me to repeat the motion first
I got it. I think what I'd like to do is just make a suggestion. I'm trying to take the temperature. Usually I can see body language because most of you don't hide your thoughts about this with you. But I can't see your facial expressions. I don't know if somebody's grimacing or not. But my thought is that, look, I think we've come to a place in my senses that where we would like the city to very much do something significant in the area of providing technical assistance to certainly employees in these industries who are trying to access benefits. And it seems like our manager believes he can do something like that. It makes a lot of sense. We've got lots of folks who at home might not be able to, sort of do the work they typically do, who have great skills, and maybe figuring out how to put them into it. What I'd recommend we do is we direct the manager to put together that program. We are hunkered down to put together that program, but I don't know that we need to authorize him or limit him because he has $100,000 he could spend if he wanted to, if he needed it. I don't know that I want to reduce it. I don't know that we need to reduce it to 60 because he always has $100,000 to make a judgment. We talk to him every day on these things. So if he thinks he needs technical assistance for his technical assistance from somebody outside of the city, he could certainly do that. And I'm sure we would hear about it before he does it on a morning phone call, but we don't have to authorize it. And I think probably the city attorney would tell you if we're not voting on it, he can have that discussion with us just to see, to let us know, to give us a report as to what he's doing as part of his emergency powers. So I almost would just simply say, let's let's direct the city attorney, the city manager, to put together this program, and realizing that he may access the money he typically can access, and that if he needs to go higher, well, we're going to have another of these meetings somewhat soon anyway, with a typical commission meeting. But let's just direct him to do that. I don't think there's an appetite on the commission to write a check for $200 where we're not quite sure what it'll be used for in this manner. But I do think there's an appetite to put together something that our city does well, which is to direct our intellectual capital to solve a problem and to address a problem. And I think probably my sense is that the manager would like to do that and is, in fact, enthusiastic and excited about it. So, you know, what do you all think about that? Just to sort of, because we don't need to limit it to 60, Commissioner Richardson. He has authority to do 100 as we sit here right now.
No, Dan, this is David Richardson. That's exactly right. He can spend up to $100,000 right now. So I support your amendment there. And I would just say to Jimmy, another thing to consider, because we do have such valuable resources in the city, in addition to setting up possibly health centers within our city, if we have the resources, I think it would be good for you to loan some of those resources to HEAT and allow some of our city employees, if you have the resources, to go to that center and specifically help their client base as well, if you have the resource. I think that's something else, that another way that the city could be helpful is to just deploy and loan some of our people there if you think it's appropriate.
That's a great idea, and I'll talk to Wendy about that.
Okay.
This is Ricky. I think there's some people from the public that might want to speak. I don't know if we're
going to... Yeah, I'm going to get to them.
Okay. And then the other thing is, this was an emergency meeting because somebody gave us a proposal. Are we going to do this every time someone comes with a proposal? Because, you know, I would ask us not to do that. I would try to limit these kinds of meetings, you know, to maybe once a month and not have special meetings.
I appreciate that, Commissioner Ariello. The reason I put it on the agenda was that I thought it was a topic that we should address publicly. If every time somebody wants something, I don't think it requires us to vote. But this one was one that would have required a vote. But I also, more importantly, felt like it wouldn't be a bad idea, given how significant the issue is, for us to have this discussion and actually hopefully leave with something that is productive, which is, it sounds to me like we're going to create some kind of technical center for dislocated workers working with other outside groups. So I appreciate it. I'll show great, I'll try not to have these meetings, but this one was, I thought, a topic that was on a lot of people's minds. So, but with that, why don't we do this?
Can I make a point real quick? This is Michael.
Sure. Go ahead, Commissioner.
Okay, all right. Number one, before we open it up for public comment, it sounds like this is moving towards more of a policy discussion for the manager to use his discretion of his spending up to $100,000 and come back to us with a plan. Number two, I think we're all in agreement that this is about providing technical assistance and services to displaced workers. This isn't about money payments to people, that we're still looking for the federal and state government to do their part there. Two other quick things is, one, Jimmy, I didn't know anybody had been laid off, even part-time employees. So if we could get an LTC, if we got one, I missed it, because I would like to know, because I do agree that our employees need to come first. So I'd like to know what happened there. And then my final point before we do whatever we're going to do, this meeting is very difficult to do by phone, and I would ask that before the April meeting that they give some thought to seeing if we can do something similar to the county at the convention center with adequate social distancing to allow us to be able to see each other's faces and see reactions, because we have more items on the agenda than one that day, and I think it's important for us to be able to, like, at least judge physical body language and facial expression and not just the words we make intermittently.
Thank you for that. Okay, so I'm going to open this up for the public, but before I do, I just want the public to know that the original proposal was something sort of different than I think, and we haven't really voted on anything yet, but it does seem that the temperature of the commission is to direct the manager to do technical assistance. He has authority up to $100,000 to supplement that with what he may need. It does sound like he believes that our in-house capabilities may be the most thing he'll rely upon, and we'll leave it to him to work it out. And I only say that to the callers because some of you may be responding to what was sent out, but of course now it seems a little bit different. You've listened, so you know sort of where the commission is. So with that, I'm going to start calling callers in the queue. You will have only 2 minutes, and I can't let people go more than that because I don't control the time. Someone else is doing that. So you can blame whoever that person is when you hit 2 minutes and you are literally cut off. So let's begin with Carlos Omar.
Yes, hi. Good morning, everyone. I hope everyone is well. This is Carlos Omar. My question is more of a general question. I am a freelance writer, and a lot of my peers are freelance, either journalists or artists. But this is applicable to the hospitality industry as well. So my question concerns about rent and the freezing of rent. Is that something that's feasible in the foreseeable future? I know a lot of, like, sort of myself and a lot of my friends who sort of live paycheck to paycheck are kind of freaking out because of the unknown of what's ahead and the inability, since a lot of our employers have shut down shop. So I wanted to know, is that something being considered?
Okay, what I'm going to do is a lot of these, we're not going to be able to have a discussion about, talking about rental issues could be a whole, it would be a long time. I think the short answer is going to be we don't control rent. But that said, for all the speakers, tell us the points you want. And, of course, email us if you want to get a response from the manager or from me. We'll always respond to you. But I appreciate that issue. Let's move to Don Mercario.
Hi there. My name is Don Mercario. I work as an on-call banquet server at 2 major hotels on Miami Beach. I also live right in the Art Deco District. I just can't emphasize enough how much the hospitality industry, those of us who work, especially at the hotels, are the lifeblood of the money that the city makes. I know a lot of our groups have pulled out conventions, and this is the high season for us, so the money we're losing can't be recovered until next year, but that's for next year. So I just wanted to let you just be aware that any extra assistance it is actually needed, and not just to be dismissed to the federal aid and the state aid, because where we live is a high cost of living here in the Art Deco District, especially anywhere on Miami Beach. So we do need extra funds just to maintain our living here. And $1,000 isn't even coming right here. So it's a high cost of living. We get gas, it's so expensive. I mean, it's cheaper now, but it's expensive. Going to Publix here on the beach, is prices are more than they are out west of here. So there really is extra, if there is any kind of funding that we would like for those of us who live in the city, we would like you to look at that further. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And I'll just remind everybody, if you would like to speak, press 0 on your phone and you'll be put in the queue. Cliff Rosengren.
Hi. First off, I just want to thank everybody on the city staff, including the city commission, the city manager, and the city attorney for the incredible work that you've been doing keeping the city running and safe over the past week. I know it's challenging, and I think you've been having a lot more success than some of our state leaders have been having. I am very satisfied with the way that the discussion turned. I think that repurposing city staff who we are already paying, to employ and paying for benefits for is an excellent idea. It would be a shame to have to lay any of those employees off because they're not, working actively in the areas where they're working. You know, my concern with the HEAT proposal was that, you're putting $200,000 into a program that, as far as I can tell, has never done case management before and would not have any experience doing case management, whereas I know city staff does have that experience in certain areas, certainly within community services. So, I appreciate the opportunity to speak, and thank you.
Thank you very much. Daniel Vettia.
Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for continuing to run our city and the city administration for everything you're doing. These are most challenging times. I support all the comments from the city commission. I think we need to be ultra-conservative. Take it from someone who's managing 2,000 units and 1,500 of them will not be paying rent for April and May. I am as concerned as you are where all this will lead, and I think we are going through uncharted territory, but whatever we think we're seeing as a problem, we're only hitting the tip of the iceberg. I am not getting any relief whatsoever from any other commercial banks, and I'm very much concerned of what this means for the future of our city and my neighborhood. So I will take your leadership and your guidance. I think we need to be conservative. I think we need to understand that there's a large segment of individuals out there impacted economically, including the hotel industry, and we need to tie everything together. We can't just help one group without making sure we understand how that's going to trickle through the rest of our city and the economy. This is a very complex situation, and I'm as concerned as anyone else out there about how we're going to make our way through it. The only comfort I receive is that we're all in the same boat, we're all in it together, and we have to work together to find solutions. And money right now is not going to be easy to find for anybody. Thank you.
Okay, let's go to the next, Daniel Seraldo.
Hi, everybody. Daniel Seraldo. Good to be in touch. Thanks for all that you're doing. So as the other Daniel mentioned, there's 1,500 people who won't be paying rent. I'm seeing here in the Art Deco district where I live, people are starting to move out, people in the hospitality sector. So this pandemic is having a major impact already on the city that I think has not been measured, and I appreciate some of the comments made about the city's own budget and finances. And I hope that soon the finance committee can meet and really see what the picture is. We have about 185 hotels in the city. The majority of them have less than 100 units and are non-union. I really appreciate all of Unite Here's work. They do a great job supporting their members. And it sounds like this is a really interesting opportunity to explore as far as using some of their skills in helping all hospitality workers. Personally, I think that it would be difficult to ask employees that are doing another job to all of a sudden become case managers. That is a specialty that I don't know if the city wants to get into that business. And I also don't know if Heat wants to work in that way, so it'd be interesting to know what they say. The final thing I want to say is we really need to look at resiliency much more broadly than we have been in the past. We've been focused on the level of the streets and sea level rise, but we need to really focus on hurricanes and other shocks like pandemics, that it seems like these issues are going to come a lot more soon. So I look forward to continuing to work with you all. Thank you.
And to all the speakers, thank you very much for the tenor of your remarks. I think it's important for us to hear about the pain people are feeling. It's important for us to understand it. And this has been helpful. And I do appreciate the fact that everybody recognizes this is one of those things we all are in it together. With that, Gail Durham.
Oh, I want to thank the commissioners for the shelter in place. And for the curfew, I think it was very helpful. Whatever's decided, if we're using tax dollars, I think Miami Beach residents must come first. And I didn't really hear that in the discussion. I think individuals should call their landlords, their credit card companies, their utility vendors, and renegotiate them. People should take it upon themselves to do that. In the near future, will the city need funding for other things like virus testing, buying ventilators? That seems more important to me. Those are my thoughts. Thank you.
Thank you, Gail. Adonis Garcia.
Good morning, everyone. Adonis Garcia, I'm a 26-year resident of Miami Beach and also the local president for the firefighters of Miami Beach. I just wanted to echo the prior comments. I think it was it was a great idea by the commission that you guys came up with of maybe reallocating our resources. We have some very bright minds that work for the city, and I think they would do a great job assisting these hotel workers in their time of need. But I, but I, I would be remiss unless I mentioned a partner here that was I did not hear on this phone call, unless they are on the phone call, which is the hotel owners and the hotel associations. And why are they not a partner in this conversation? Because I do think they are an intricate part of the solution in helping out the city. I would like that to be also considered. One more thing, I do believe that the request is a bit premature because I think, like the mayor stated, that this is an object that's moving very fast and changing daily. I think by next month, a lot of things will be clear on how the different federal grants will be issued and the different subsidies will be distributed, including direct checks to people's bank accounts. So since it is so early, I think it is prudent to wait and reallocate our sources in the city to help out the people in need. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Adonis. Jesse Uloa?
Yes, good morning to everyone. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can.
Okay, wonderful. Real quick, just want to, number one, thank everybody. I know you guys are working extremely hard, and I'm just very, very proud of the city and how everything has been managed so far. I think you guys have done an outstanding job. I'm sitting here at home with symptoms for the last 6 days. I cannot get tested because I don't meet the criteria, but I have sheltered in place, and I will continue to stay home for at least 15 days. With that said, you answered my first question, Mayor, so I'm going to skip on that one. As a part of the community, I just want to know, when this is all said and done, if it becomes an issue of filing applications or helping people file for unemployment and things like that, for those of us who are maybe temporarily out of work and have the time and have the technical ability, can we volunteer, or how can we as community members help so that we can all get out of this sooner?
Thank you, Jesse. And I apologize if I mispronounced your name. I'm certain that as the manager puts this together, there'll be outreach to the community in terms of both folks that are seeking to gain access to benefits, but also people who might be able to help. Very possible the hotel associations have personnel, and I know there are other groups like the Convention Bureau that's working on this. So, there's going to be an all-hands-on-deck, and we'll definitely reach out to you. Crystal Swope.
Hi, this is Crystal Swope. I'm the General Counsel of Lifehouse Hotels. We have two hotels that were operating in Miami that were closed due to coronavirus, and we have two under construction in Miami that have now closed under construction. I want to start by saying thank you to all the city staff, city commission, city manager, city attorney. I understand that this must be an incredibly overwhelming time. This is a pandemic, and I can just imagine like you're being told in a million different ways. So I appreciate you taking the time to hear our comments and understand where we're coming from. I have three quick comments I want to make. First is just a gentle reminder, both to the City Commission and to all the audience members, to have compassion. These are human beings that we're talking about, so it's important to have a complete financial picture. But at the end of the day, these are also residents and human beings that by next month may not be able to pay rent, may not have utilities, may not have food, and need help. So whether we go through PEEP or whether we go through some other process, at the end of the day, these are people and residents and people who will elect you in the future who are going to need help. The second point is, I've heard a couple times commissioners mention that we're willing to do good things as long as other people are contributing. I want to push back on that sentiment. As human beings, as government officials, we should be doing good regardless of what other people are doing, and we should be setting the tone and being leaders. And my third is, I want to voice my support for case management services, again, whether it's from Pete or from some other point, from some other person or entity. From my perspective, it's pointless to offer benefits, whether it's federal or state, if people cannot access it. And so if we all know that if the system is already incredibly difficult to navigate, people don't have the language skills or other skills or resources to do it, I think it's incumbent upon the city government to provide those resources. So if you're not going to support this proposal, my question would be, what resources would you provide to workers who are trying to access state and federal benefits? Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Crystal. Okay, Armando Ibarra.
Hi, good morning. Armando Ibarra speaking on behalf of the Greater Miami and the Beaches Hotel Association. I work closely with President and CEO Wendy Kalergis and our board of directors. First, I wanted to thank you, Mayor Gelbert, and commissioners for your work to respond to this unprecedented health and economic crisis. I also wanted to thank Ms. Walsh for her work and for bringing attention to this important issue. I wanted to speak to provide some information about some of our efforts to focus on supporting workers and displaced employees in our hospitality industry at this difficult time. The Greater Miami and the Beaches Hotel Association is working along with the Greater Miami Convention and Visitors Bureau and United Way to launch in the coming days an initiative specifically to connect displaced hospitality industry workers with resources that are administered by United Way and its partners. And it's going to be an extension of their Helping Hands program. We already have some resources for this program, and CBB, the GMBHA, and our partners are helping to raise additional resources, and we will be dedicating dozens of staff jointly to support United Way in this efforts and in this initiative. As you know, United Way is a leader in administering programs to assist those in need and to connect them with resources from many partners. We're working jointly with them in order to maximize the reach and efficiency of our support efforts across the county. And we believe that in this way we'll be positioned to connect with a broader segment of workers in our industry and facilitate the resources they need. We're working with them on an industry-wide basis to allow for better delivering across diverse needs for many people, many of which live in one municipality and work in another. You know, thousands of our workers in our industry work and live in Miami Beach, and, you know, we also wanted to provide this information and invite the city and other partners, others that are on this call, to work with us and the United Way at this critical moment. And so I wanted to thank you again for this time and look forward to further discussing with you.
Thank you, Armando. Tiva Lesser?
Hi, good morning, Mayor and Commission. This is Tiva Lesser. I just wanted to say that I agree with what you all have been saying at the end. At the beginning, I was a little nervous about what was being said, but now I feel very comfortable with the idea of the city manager being in charge and doing an internal, almost like a phone bank of sorts, where they, you know, people can call in who work in places in Miami Beach, and we can help them get all of their benefits through helping them with the computer stuff that they might not be able to do on their own. So I'm very, very comfortable with that. I didn't feel that it was good to just only have the hospitality industry, but now that we could also have people who work in offices, people that are store workers, that clothing store workers, or, you know, nail salon workers, whatever it could possibly be like that, to help a more broad anyone who is a resident in Miami Beach or someone who is employed in Miami Beach. So thank you very much. Thank you for being on the front line. And, you know, I still see on social media all of you, you know, stepping out and helping with the elderly and all these other things that you're doing. So thank you so much, and continue doing what you're doing.
Thank you, Tiva. John Dutzman.
Yes, Mayor, how are you? Been listening.
John is not a Miami Beach resident. I object.
Mr. Ariola, I am still I'm in exile right now, and I'm still a taxpayer of Miami Beach. I almost got hit by a tidal wave yesterday, and I know that you would be very delighted if that happened. But anyway, my suggestion, I was working for WFOR, WCIX, when Hurricane Andrew hit. And that was devastating, worse than 9/11, and most of South Dade was leveled. And during that, what rose organically was something that our station did, which was called Neighbors Helping Neighbors, which essentially was a centralized help center to match people with needs, desperate needs at times, with people who could help. And that started organically. We were flying by the seat of our pants, but it was one of the best things I've ever seen in my lifetime. I think it still exists. And maybe the city can go in that direction, you know, with the people who are unemployed and people who are seeking things to do as city employees right now. that would be a great thing, because there's so many people have so many questions and they don't know where to turn. And many times when you turn to the state or these various agencies, you don't get the answers you want. So that arose out of a tragedy, and it was the best thing I've ever seen, and it worked. And I think it still exists. So my suggestion is maybe Jimmy's staff or your staff give a WFOR call and see, you know, how they pulled it off.
Thank you, John. Janie Tenenbruso.
Hello, good morning, Commissioners, Mayor, and Wendy Walsh. Thanks for organizing this discussion regarding the hospitality workers. I'm a hospitality worker at the Fountain Blue. We were just, you know, there's no business. Hotels closed, no word from the company, no email, nada. So I think we feel like we're left in the lurch here. We're here. I'm a resident homeowner, can't pay my mortgage. The government allotment of $1,200 is obviously not enough to pay mortgage and rent here on Miami Beach. So all the proposals are great, but just please take in consideration the residents of Miami Beach and the hospitality workers. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Nicola Mayer.
Yeah, hi, good morning. My name is Nicola Meyer. My family owns two hotels in Miami Beach, the Palms Hotel and Spa on 30th and Collins, and Circa 39 on 16th and Collins. We were in the difficult position this week. We basically laid laid off over 350 of our employees this week. So it was a very, very tough couple of days for us. So first of all, I wanted to actually thank Wendy for, you know, stepping in and offering her help with this. Unfortunately, I kind of agree that this is not the way to go about this. I think this has to be all addressed on a Miami Beach level, whatever we decided, what we ever decide to do. I really think that the hotels, HR managers need to be really involved in this. They are the ones that know their staff. They are the ones that know who needs help most with applying for help. I'm also very concerned about getting the word out. Wendy mentioned that a lot of people called in, but the question would be, how does the word get out that there is some kind of help available? If this can be funneled through the HR directors of the hotels, that would be the easiest, because they can turn around and call everybody. The other concern I have with the technical assistance of things is, no matter how this gets pulled off, is that a lot of language barriers are with Haitian. So I'm not sure how many Haitian-speaking personnel would be available to assist. And my last point is, we have still, as a hotel, tax liabilities for the city of Miami Beach for the operating time of March 1st to the 22nd. Jimmy, I don't know how much money you guys get on an average March from the hotel. But I'm sorry, how much? Okay. So what I would like to see... Okay. What I would like to see is, I would like to see a fund where we are funneling part of the city tax revenue into an emergency fund, and then we are able to actually disperse these funds. Let's also consider, we need to make sure that the money goes into the right hands. And that is, I think, something Wendy also tried to address. But again, the HR managers know their staff, so we need to make sure that this money goes into the right hands as well. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Eileen. And I'm sorry if I mispronounced it. Hamil Dib or Jamil Dib?
Yes, good morning. Thank you, Mr. Major, Commissioner, City Manager. Thank you for the support on the health. We're the e-restaurant group that we have maybe 700-800 employees just right there on the beach. And now our main concern is just our employees, not rent, not taxes, nothing, just for our employees. And we know that this is beyond man capacity. Now we need God's help in this part. So this $100,000, Mr. Major, is like giving an aspirin to a cancer patient. So I think we need to have more information, more resources, and plan it better, no? There's some industries that are benefiting a lot. You know, it's obvious, Publix, Walgreens, et cetera, et cetera. And we know that there's, like, hiring some in some other states, in Miami, hospitality employees. So if the city, the government can contact them to hire our employees. Also, you know, they're profiting four times more than last year. Maybe this is not the time to profit. Maybe this is the time to survive. No, maybe special discounts for residents, maybe special discounts for employees. No, maybe part of this huge profit that they're going to do, send it back to the community. Maybe use those $100,000 to create a campaign, to bring more funds from the state, to bring more help from these mega big corporations that they're profiting on this time. No, this is, as I said, the time to survive. We're very concerned about employees. Thank you for all the help and for the support. And God bless you guys. This is it.
Thank you, Mr. Deb. Eileen Lopez.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah.
Hi. I was just curious if this proposal that's being discussed today, if that is going to apply to people within the hospitality industry that are independent contractors and not employees, such as crew members on yachts that freelance between several companies, like captains and stewardesses.
Thank you, Eileen. You know, I think a lot of the details, you know, obviously we've sort of just during this meeting decided we're going to try to do this with some level of internal effort. So I don't think those details are known yet, but I appreciate raising the issue. I know the manager has now been made aware of that distinction. So thank you. Yula Senkiv.
Hi, good afternoon. My name is Yulia Senkiv. I'm a resident of Miami Beach, and I used to be an employee of the hotel here in Miami Beach. It's SLS Hotel. I'd like to speak on behalf of numerous of the former SLS employees and also generally people from the industry. So with all the respect to other industries and other people who are facing difficulties, I believe that in Miami there is no other industry that would suffer more than us, unfortunately. Nobody brought up the fact that most of hospitality employees getting $5 per hour pay rate. We work based on tips, a lot of us. So our unemployment compensation is going to be extremely low and would not even cover rent of a small studio in a simple article building here on Miami Beach, and I'm speaking from personal experience. It's also important to mention that our job is seasonal, and this crisis caught us at the beginning of the season, which means that people cannot rely on their savings, and like we're just in a big crisis right now. I do respect all the industry and, of course, all the employees that work for the government that have been laid off, but I really do hope that our city government will pay close attention to the crisis we're facing right now, because we cannot rely on the even on the national government, because the amount of the help we're going to get is will be very, very much not enough to cover the basic needs of the industry workers. Thank you so much for your attention, and thank you for doing this work.
Thank you, Ms. Henke. Joseph Luis.
Good afternoon, Commissioner. My name is Joseph Floyd. I live in Little Haiti, and I have been at hotel workers on Miami Beach for the last 17 years. I do be quite fed up. For the last 3 weeks, I have met any work. All events and conferences got canceled. What now? I have a family to support. My coworkers and I, we don't know what to do. So this morning when I hear the proposal from Wendy, she thinks going to help all the people from the local and the people of the out of the union. So, you know, commissioners, we are the one make money beat. We please support us at this time of need. Thank you, commissioners. I thank you for waiting for the interest from you. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Luis. Athena Gaziria, and I apologize again for mispronouncing it, I'm sure.
Hi, my name is Athena. I work for the Miami Beach Edition, and I depend 100% on the industry. I'm a single mom. I have a six-year-old, and I've been without work for the past 3 weeks, and there is a lot of uncertainty when things are going back to normal, so I think we really need the help, and that's all. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Gaziria. Natalia Dettore.
Hello, thank you so much. My name is Natalia Dettore. I was born and raised in the city, 35 years now living here in the hospitality industry. Unfortunately, we had to close 5 of our restaurants this week, let go of over 400 employees. We also have a restaurant in Las Vegas at Venetian, so we know how huge this is. My point is, thank you, Mayor, for bringing this up. I know it's a special meeting because this is something very important specifically to Miami Beach. I understand other people's concerns for other industries, but remember that the hospitality industry was shut down a full week before any other businesses. It's almost sacrificed to this virus. We're in the middle of high season, not like Zika and Red Tide, which took place in the summer, and we saw how that affected us. Also remember, 17% of the revenue that the city collects is driven by resort taxes. That's the second largest source of revenue, and not only that, but that doesn't even include that other fees and taxes and auxiliary things that we include. So $200,000, I think, is about 0.2% of that. I think that that's a good amount of money to give to the proposals, not necessarily just this one. I agree with you. It should go to the manager to be able to do things. I hear a lot of people wanting to wait and see if things happen. The problem is that hospitality workers, as we already heard on this call, are already moving out of the city. It's very difficult for us to get people to even stay if we're able to get up in the next month or two. It's going to be very difficult to do that without any of our hospitality workers available. So I know that giving direct funds is not necessarily the best approach, but there are other ways around it, including upskill training and things that I'll be sending a proposal over for a major university here that's willing to do those things for compensation. So our people are getting training while they're also getting paid to at least cover some meals for their family. Unfortunately, the city of Miami Beach has gotten a lot of bad reputation because of the pictures all over worldwide of snorkels and beaches in time. So this would be a really great way to show the hospitality industry that you're here for them, considering that future businesses that are coming here are also looking at this. And I definitely second and will be willing to take
2 minutes have left.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. CC Velasco.
Hi, thank you. It's Ceci. I feel for all of you going through this, and thank you for being there for everybody every waking hour of the day. My interest in the proposal was case management. I think it's so essential. It was the best idea. We, on Ocean Drive and in the South Beach District, we have long-term employees. They've been working for 16, 20 . They've never been in the public system before. They've never needed public assistance before. They really don't know how to navigate the system. And there are so many new benefits and so many new – I've been talking to even a hotel owner just today and didn't understand the new act, the FMLA, Extended Families First Act. And so I think that it's really essential to have some kind of case management. I honestly believe that the city employees are more than capable of doing it. Once you understand government, you probably understand it better than somebody from the outside. And I think Jimmy's team should be able to be repurposed to handle this kind of case management. Also, I mean, I love listening to everybody in this town hall meeting. I want to remind people that hospitality workers and residents aren't mutually exclusive terms. About 30% of hospitality workers are also residents. And for the most part, those are people with families because they want to be close to their families. They want their kids to go to the schools in the city of Miami Beach. And they are paying a higher premium for their cost of living in order to be here. So they're not mutually exclusive terms. I also do think that you have a lot of people here that are retired that have the skills to help, human resource people, people that have government experience. And if you call to action the community, they will step up. I think all of those are wonderful ideas. I support it. I want to be here for you. I'm also on the board of Florida Restaurant and Lodging Association and the Chamber, and the Chambers have this wonderful business directory that they're putting on site, streamlining and putting all of these resources in one place where people can access it. It makes it so much less confusing. So I would promote going to the Chamber website and listening to the Florida Restaurant and Lodging Association when it comes to hospitality. And again, I thank you for putting everything you have into helping us through this crisis.
Ceci, Michelle Salem.
Hi. I think Ceci just touched on something that was the topic of my comment. And in my view, what's happening is bigger than anything since perhaps World War II or the Great Depression. Given that, I think everyone that can should be finding ways in which they can help their community, their government, their neighbors. It's kind of difficult to do that while we're stuck in our homes, but perhaps we could help those that need assistance navigate in the very complicated government website for applying for assistance. I've been watching on the news about people who have spent hours filling out the online forms only to be kicked off in the end. They don't even understand what they're doing in many cases, and even when they do, the websites are just overwhelmed, and there's a lot of time being lost. And these are with people who know what they're doing, so can you imagine when they really aren't comfortable with the situation? I think using the city employees to help with the crisis while they're not able to do their jobs is a really, really good idea. But I also think the city could appeal to residents who are in a position to help, as Ceci just mentioned about retired people or just people who are sitting in their homes like I am right now for lack of a choice. But if the city were to appeal with very specific needs, I think that could make a big impact. I think educating the people. I was very inspired last night listening to the news about the UK. They are really going into the public and asking them for help. Whether it be nurses or any other category, I think it's, you know, very inspirational, and also these are times that are probably going to get much worse as we realize what the economic impact of all of this is. Anything we do, whether it's about helping people navigate these complicated websites or whatever the case might be, may require some training in order to do it right, but I think, you know, all of us, if we pitch in, can help. That's my comment.
Thank you. That was very, very thoughtful. Jerry Libin.
Thank you, Mayor and Commissioners. I fully support the direction where you are going, presumably after the feedback from each of the commissioners today, giving Jimmy the authority and Jimmy, you know, taking advantage of the current employees, probably can amass a labor force much greater than the technical assistance that would have been provided by 60,000 or so in terms of helping heat. Notwithstanding that, I think sending some of our employees, as Commissioner Richardson suggested, to the heat facility, if that's appropriate, would be well advised as well. I do want to point out that, as Ceci had just said, if folks that are listening to this would like to go on to MiamiBeachChamber.com, we have an unemployment guide that lists thousands of jobs that companies are currently hiring, and that could certainly be something that people might want to look at. We also have a business relief guide where a lot of the information that people are seeking, how to file unemployment claims, business relief loans and grants, federal and state, as well as business services that some of our companies are offering. And we're also having ongoing go-to meetings. And if you look at our events page, you can click on anyone, member or non-member, can click on any of our meetings through a go-to meeting. We're offering companies the ability to provide seminars that can help people through the crisis. So thank you all for what you're doing, and we're there as the Chamber of Commerce to help the community through this as well. Thank you.
Thanks, Jerry. And I'm certain that you and Jimmy will be able to coordinate a lot of initiatives on this. Tiffany Madera.
Hi, good morning, Mayor and Commissioners and Miami Beach neighbors. I I run a nonprofit arts organization founded in Miami Beach in 1990, and I'm a full-time artist as well. And like all of my colleagues, I've seen my events, my grants, my projects all kind of go up in smoke for pretty much the rest of the year. My question or my curiosity is, would it be possible through the Cultural Affairs Department to create some emergency grants for Miami Beach resident artists who may not be part of a big organization but have really been hit economically, and we feel like the hospitality industry pretty lost and not really knowing where to go for assistance?
Thank you very much. That's a great issue. You know, everybody's thinking about a lot of different things at this time, but arts community is really an integral part of our profile of our community. I'm sure the manager's going to have some ideas at some point going forward. But thanks for bringing it up today. Matisse Pesci.
Yes, hello. Good afternoon. Thank you for the time. My name is Matias Pesce. I'm co-owner and CEO of B&E Restaurant Group. I want to transmit all of you that we are very, very concerned about this phenomenal crisis that we are living in our restaurant industry. We have more than 1,200 employees, and unfortunately, we had to reduce around 80% of our staff, hourly and part-time people, because of the shutdown last week. So in this scenario, I want to transmit on behalf of the entire group that this is a very issue. We're trying to protect as much employees as we can, and all of us are able to have discussion in order to find the best alternative possible to cooperate with the city, with the community, and with our employees that are the most important part in this crisis. So myself and our group is available to discuss and cooperate in meetings committee to find the best option possible in terms of cash flow, in terms of forecast, and the most fair distribution to help all the community and all the small business we have in town. Thank you.
Thank you, Matisse. Wendy Kalergis.
Hi there. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, great. Hi, everyone. I'm the president of the Greater Miami and the Beaches. And oh, my God. I'm so sorry. Greater Miami Beaches Hotel Association. And thank you, Mayor Gelber and Commission, for having this call. As you know, we're having a challenging time across Miami-Dade County with all of our hotels. This past Friday, we had a call with our board that we were all dreading, just talking about all of the, you know, hotel closures, the hotels that are able to be essential hotels for our essential community, which is great, and the tens of thousands of people that are out of jobs and our efforts. And for knowledge, we have local, state, and federal resources working with our partners that are on our website, gmbha.com. But one of the things that we're really that we're focusing on is this issue of how are we going to help our employees. And I know Bill Talbert will be speaking about the program that was launched, that the CDB launched in partnership with our association, the United Way program that Armando Ibarra referred to. And what's great about this program, it has so many different resources for our employees and all of the hospitality employees to all the employees to partner with. So we're very excited about that initiative. I think now that the hotels and now our next initiative is working with our HR directors. So now you have a group of incredible human resources directors that are really feeling the pain, and we're getting together now to talk about what's next. How can we? I mean, I think some of them that we're all at home right now. We need to get together and start working on feeding our employees. You know, partnering with others. Sorry.
You He's just letting you know you're near the end of your 2 minutes.
Okay. Okay, great. Just appreciate your support, and whatever we can do to work together, please count on our support.
Okay, that ends the public in this part. It was not a required public hearing, but I thought it was a good idea to do it. And I want to, first of all, thank a few people before we go and vote. I want to thank both PJ and Tanya for putting together this. You know, I've seen other commission meetings across the state and how they've been operating, and I really do appreciate this. It was both orderly and thoughtful. And I also just want to say before we, you know, we're going to be voting on what I believe is going to be directing the city manager to essentially repurpose individuals, city employees, to help displaced individuals in accessing local, state, and federal relief and accessing whatever funds he needs within his discretion and authority. You know, I just like to say that our city likes to lead, and it's happening, as you can see, in the last few weeks. A lot of other cities have asked for our attorney's work product in Word because they want to just take it and put their city's name in it, and that's fine. We work with them. We're happy to do that. But in this area, this has been very, very helpful. Social distancing means sometimes you can't talk to a lot of people. I know all my commissioners and I, we're receiving all sorts of emails, texts, and phone calls all the time. So we hear a little bit about all of the different areas of our city that are getting hurt, really, by this in ways that is sad. But to go through this today was really very clarifying in a sense that I think we have reached a point where I believe there's great utility in directing our manager to put together something I haven't seen other cities doing, but which is essentially a world-class effort to help displaced individuals really get through this by helping them access the benefits that the government is going to be providing. I think there's great utility to that. I can't imagine a better manager, more equipped to do it. We have one of the brightest guys in the world running the city, and I think he loves taking on a challenge. And this is a little bit outside of what's typical, but these are hardly typical moments. And I think, you know, some people might hide from this, and other people will rush into it ready to do something remarkable and amazing. So I have a great confidence in Jimmy's ability to really put our staff and others together to do something significant. So with that, does everybody understand the motion?
And the motion was made originally by Commissioner Richardson. I do not have a second yet.
Right. It's Richardson. Sure.
Okay, you've got a second. Let's take the roll because that's the only way we can do it.
Yes, sir. Commissioner Areola.
Yes.
Commissioner Gongora. Commissioner Gongora?
I had you on mute, yes.
Thank you. Commissioner Minor?
Yes.
Commissioner Richardson?
Yes.
Commissioner Samulin?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Steinberg?
Yes.
Mayor Gelber?
Yes, and with that, it passes unanimously.
Yes, sir.
So I know Jimmy wants to talk for a moment about it, but I want to say to my colleagues, you all have been splendid in this from the beginning, and today was, I think, a lot of the public saw why, you know, they feel like there has been collaborative, thoughtful, even when we disagree, discussion on these issues. I think that's so important, and I want to just thank all of you. I miss Commissioner Steinberg and Commissioner Ariel and elbowing me in my ribs. But on the other hand, I'm very grateful for the wonderful way we all have comported ourselves and the public as well, and as well as the staff. So, Jimmy, would you like to?
I just want to close by saying I don't want to lose sight of the fact that today, I think, for the first time ever, the city had a virtual city commission meeting with 26 people actually calling in and participating by phone. And so I want to really thank the entire communications department that did a tremendous amount of work. IT, who did a amount of work, the city attorney's office, and the city clerk's office. It was a team to get this done. All four departments working together to pull this off, and we look forward to doing even more on the 22nd next month.
And by the way, 130 people were on the call with 25 participating, just if anybody's wondering about public access. So this is not ideal, but it's what we're going to do at this moment. And with that, I would recess the meeting. Thank you all.
Mayor, can I ask one question before we recess? This is Michael.
Sure.
It's two questions. I wanted to follow up one that we do, although this was great and worked well, that we give some consideration to seeing if it's possible to do a different setup in April, like we discussed at the convention center, number one. And number two, I think as mayor you can do this without a commission vote, but I think you should look into what happened after 9/11 with the Blue Ribbon Tourism Task Force and perhaps start putting that together sooner rather than later, because all of these people are full of energy and ideas and excited to figure out how we're going to get our economy going again, and that could be something they could perhaps start working on by phone in the interim.
I appreciate that. After Andrew, we had a few groups, and I think it's a great idea. This is a different kind of challenge. There are a lot of moving parts, but I intend to talk to colleagues who are, seem like they would be able to address it. People have been sending me ideas already. Someone sent me an idea during this meeting saying that, you know, there are some places that have even hired consultants to start talking to them about the best ways to, stand yourselves back up and what to do. So I'll come to all of us with some ideas shortly, and I'll talk to some of our colleagues across the Bay, because there's obviously a relationship between this industry and in fact, our economy. It's not just a single municipality, as everyone knows. So thank you all very much, and thank you to the public.